breaking 15 months of consecutive record-breaking planetary heat. I'm Christina Onnestad reporting for Pacifica Radio.
Escuchan in Washington and all points beyond. This is Oscar Fernandez, and you're listening to the Latino Media Collective here on WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington, El Distrito Colombia, here on this Friday, October 25th, 2024. We're also heard on latinomediacollective.com. You can find us on Twitter under the name at LMC underscore show. That is at LMC underscore show. And of course, live on WPFWFM.org. That's WPFWFM.org. Once again, this is Oscar Fernandez, and today on the show, we put the spotlight on Univision to break down their town halls of both Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. And we are in the middle of WPFW's Fall Pledge Drive, which gives you the opportunity to support the Latino Media Collective by going to WPFWFM.org to make a donation. You can also call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. And if you have the Cash App on your phone, make the donation to $WPFWFM. And please give credit to the Latino Media Collective when you do so. We have a modest goal at this hour at $500. And it's now more than any other time where the audience has control, not only of the direction and the future of WPFW, but dare I say, just the very future of journalism. So long as you're able to support independent media outlets like WPFW and independent journalists like our guest that we have today, one of our favorite guests, Arturo Dominguez, freelance writer and journalist based in Houston, Texas. Welcome back to the show, Arturo Dominguez.
Man, thanks for having me as usual, Oscar. It's always fun to be here.
Yeah, this should be an interesting one because today on the show, we're going to play a few clips from the town hall that Univision did for both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. And there's a lot to be said here with regards to Univision and sort of its right-wing turn that it's taken. One could argue that it's always taken a right-wing turn when it comes to conservative politics within the Latino community. But before we break down a few clips, let's preface this by saying that town halls on network television, whether it be English or in Spanish, as we know them on network television, are generally staged and the people asking the questions are pre-screened. But no matter how staged these town halls may be, we can still draw some lessons from its presentation. So what are your thoughts on Univision's town halls, and if you learn anything that people may have not have taken notice of initially?
Well, you know, for most Latinos, we know that with Univision, it's got this whole right-wing appeal to it. You know, there's rumors about Jared Kushner putting money into Univision, things like that. So there's obviously a very pro-Trump kind of, I wouldn't say very, but there's a pro-Trump lean when it comes to Univision. So for us, for Latinos, we expected softball questions. You know, we expected pre-screened questions from guests and the audience and stuff like that. I think what is most telling, though, is, and I honestly believe that this hurt Donald Trump more than it hurt Kamala Harris.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know, the damage he did to his campaign is pretty extensive with the Latino community, I think. We haven't seen the numbers yet since the polling or since the event. But, you know, you get this anecdotal evidence, right, from people around us, people on social media, and a lot of undecided Latinos were really turned off by the whole thing. You know, on one hand, you have this really old guy rambling on, just repeating the same things like a broken record, not really answering anybody's questions. And on the other side of that, you have a much more coherent candidate, right? So I'm not like, I don't tell people who to vote for or anything like that. But in this situation, you know, the comparison's night and day. You know, Kamala Harris is really pushing for the Latino vote. I think did herself a lot of favors. You know, she was more direct with her answers, particularly about abortion, which is a big issue with Latinos more than people realize. You know, everybody thinks Latinos, it's immigration, but, you know, the economy and education are usually our top two issues, whether we're immigrant or not. Issues like abortion, you know, are up there as well. So, you know, for Trump, man, what really hurt him the most was just how he responded, or his lack of a response to the direct questions about January 6th, about mass deportations. All he did was make these incoherent points. Like, you know, you can't say January 6th was all about love, right? Or it was peaceful. We all saw it, right? The whole world saw it. And, you know, when a migrant farm worker is asking you what's going to happen to grocery prices, you know, if you mass deport, where are we going to get, who's going to harvest our food? How much more are we going to pay? And then you just respond by going on a rant about illegals and crime and, you know, emptying prisons. And he didn't even bother to answer the question. And if I was that person, I would have really been made to feel pretty terrible listening to that response. You know, I would have felt like crap if I was that guy. Because the question seemed like a very genuine question. It came from a personal place. And Trump's response almost came off as a personal attack. So for a lot of Trumpers and MAGA, they think that everything that Trump did at the Univision Town Hall was just tremendous and great and he owned it and blah, blah. But come on, it was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster.
Certainly a disaster with regards to Trump, but we have to call out Kamala Harris for some comments that she made that I found a little bit troubling as well. And I have to say this with regards to Univision. Like I said before, these town halls on network news outlets on television are generally staged and pre-screened with regards to the questions. But there were some moments on Univision's town halls where I'm like, okay, that was different from CNN or MSNBC, where they actually showed the reactions of people, especially when Trump was there for the town hall, people's reactions of what? Or you can hear audible gasps in the background when Trump said certain things like January 6th, as you mentioned. I have that clip, by the way. But before we go to that clip, we have a clip of the first question given to Kamala Harris during Univision's town hall. The question came from a young woman, if you remember, who recently lost both her parents and asked about the issue of healthcare access for undocumented immigrants. That's the background to Harris's response here as we listen to the clip.
Your parents were here for years, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And your father was able to earn his pathway to citizenship, but your mother was not. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to assume it's because part of the problem is that we do have a broken immigration system, mm-hmm. including it being the case that even though when we were elected in 2020, and the first bill we offered Congress before we did the bipartisan infrastructure bill, before we did the work on gun safety, before we did the work on investing in chips and science, the first bill we offered within hours of taking the oath was a bill to fix the immigration system, including creating a comprehensive earned pathway to citizenship for hardworking people. And it was not taken up. And now we look at a situation where people are suffering. The reality is that in terms of having access to health care, had your mother been able to gain citizenship, she would have been entitled to health care that may have alleviated her suffering and yours. And this is one example of the fact that there are real people who are suffering because of an inability to put solutions in front of politics. I mean, an example of this on immigration policy is that as it relates to what we need to do to strengthen our border.
So that was Kamala Harris's response to a question about healthcare access to undocumented immigrants. And as a matter of fact, the first three questions of that town hall related in one form or another to healthcare. But that response, Arturo, sort of rubbed me the wrong way because somehow towards the end of that response from Harris, she tied it to national security or border security or any other form of militarization of the border that you can think of. We've had you on the show several times talking about militarization of the border. And I not only don't understand how she ended up going from healthcare to militarizing the border or national security and all that stuff, but it sounds to me like a Republican talking point, and that's what rubs me the wrong way from this particular response. So while the question was about healthcare, how did Harris not only jump to national security, but frame it in a way that sounded very Republican to me?
One of the things that has been obvious since Biden took office was the Democrats' approach to MAGA, to far-right Republicans. They tried to appeal to them nonstop, you know, from everything from like the border wall to closing the border to putting limits on how many asylum claims can happen in a day or in a week, all that stuff. There's been this shift to the right on a lot of issues, but particularly immigration and healthcare. You know, Kamala Harris went from Medicare for all to not being for Medicare for all now. So, and that's basically a Democrat platform. They're not pushing that, the healthcare for all type thing. The other thing was on the campaign trail, there was the promise of protecting asylum, right? And that's another thing that Joe Biden reneged on several times. And the new bipartisan border bill that she keeps referring to attacks the right to claim asylum. It really puts heavy restrictions on who can and who can't claim it. You know, in addition, it seems like during this election, when it comes to immigration, all you hear about is the border, right? We're not hearing about the green card backlogs. We're not hearing about workers that are at the mercy of their employer who can't quit and have to deal with abuse because if they quit, they might lose their visa. They might get their families ripped apart. Half of them get deported. The other half stays here. You know, this happens to Indian families all the time, to Chinese families. So there's this effort, and it's pretty ignorant in a lot of ways when you look at the overall problem with the immigration system, because it's focused on the solutions for both sides is enforcement. Militarized.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. That's why I've had you on the show so many times, because whether it be the issue of asylum or DACA recipients or Haitian migrants or everything and anything in between, we've always had conversations on this. And we're looking at it through the lens of humanity. But right now, Kamala Harris is doing something that a lot of Republicans do, which is look through all these issues through the lens of national security. And it's quite infuriating because there is no humanity in national security, especially the way we've seen it in the last few years.
Right, right. And, you know, the whole framing immigration as a national security issue happened under Bush after 9/11, right? There was all this hype, you know, people were wrongly suggesting that the 9/11 hijackers somehow came across the border. They didn't, you know, they all had visas and they did the white people way. That's what they call it, right? You got the Europeans who come, they overstay their visas and then they disappear, right? And you never hear about them in the news or in the media or in any other political rhetoric. And this focus on the border, and it's xenophobic, right? It's anti-immigrant in a lot of ways, but it has a very anti-Latino feel. So every time you hear a politician say, illegal aliens or immigrants, you know, replace those with Latino and you'll start to understand what they're saying. Because if you replace the word illegal alien with, say, Indians or Chinese, or the rhetoric that follows that doesn't make sense, right? So Donald Trump might talk about illegal aliens, but in that same sentence, he's going to talk about how Latin American countries are emptying their jails, emptying their prisons. So when he's talking about illegal aliens, he's talking about Latinos, right? We're all flawed.
And what makes this worse is that, yes, you know, after a while, you and I expect this on CNN or MSNBC, but this was on Univision.
Right.
Univision. And as is often the case with town halls, such crazy responses just go unchecked. We could say that about Trump in the clips we'll play later, but with regards to Harris as well, a lot of her responses went unchecked. We have another clip from Kamala Harris that I believe points to her recent, in my opinion, recent misguided attempt to appeal to Republicans. And you sort of alluded to this already. She received a question from an undecided voter, and this was her response.
I am honored to have earned the Democratic nomination. I am honored to have the endorsement of people from every walk of life. You will probably find that I probably have a bigger coalition of people who couldn't seem to be more different than each other, who have come together around my candidacy. From 200 Republicans who worked with and for both Presidents Bush, John McCain, Mitt Romney, including Liz Cheney, the former Congresswoman, and her father, the former Vice President, Dick Cheney, who was supporting me. Former members, very esteemed members, including generals of the national security community. I have the endorsement and support of Alberto Gonzalez most recently, who of course was Attorney General. I have the support of people from every background, and I believe this is the reason why.
So that was her response to an undecided voter. And obviously people can't see us on the radio, but Arturo is just shaking his head in disbelief on the number of Republican officials that are now supporting her campaign. And I think the one that infuriates me the most is Alberto Gonzalez, the former Attorney General, I believe, under the Bush administration, who was one of several people who tried to justify the war in Iraq almost 20 years ago. And so what do you make of Harris's attempt to pander to Republican voters, specifically Latino Republicans? It just scratches my head that she's going in this direction, or that people think that this is fine, or even more absurd, the idea that Latino Republican voters would be swayed by this.
There are a lot of issues with the Democrat leading to the right. The biggest one is, if I was a Democrat, I would not be celebrating a Dick Cheney endorsement.
Exactly.
There's no way, no way. It seems ridiculous to me, because Dick Cheney is a far right Republican. And the only people he's going to attract are more far right, warmongering type people. And when it comes to Latinos, and you're not differentiating yourself from Trump, with the exception of one thing, internment camps. Trump wants to put all immigrants in camps and deport them to wherever. He doesn't even know where. And the rest of his policy is almost identical to Harris's policy, except for the camp. Harris isn't talking about mass deportations, but let's not pretend she's not going to. Obama didn't talk about him either, and we still call him the deporter in chief. So, you know, there's reasons for that. You know, as much as Trump did, he still didn't out-deport Barack Obama. And I think that at this point, Democrats are trying to be, look, we're tougher on the border. Watch what we do. And they're going to try to pretend to be tougher than Republicans. And the only people that's going to appeal to are right wingers. You know, they're gradually pushing liberals to the right. And I see that a lot. You know, when you try to talk about Palestine and Gaza, you get a lot of Harris supporters that are, you know, they have no response to it other than, oh, enjoy when Trump's in office and he's deporting your ass, you know. Or a lot of people think that, you know, I'm in Cuba. So they're like, well, at least we have food, you know. I'm like, dude, like, that's not supposed to be a liberal position right there. That doesn't scream big tent to me. There's a lot of issues with this push to the right. But in regards to Latinos, I think there's, let's put it this way. If Harris loses, it's because of a failure to differentiate herself from Trump. Because while she is different, policy-wise, they are far too similar. Because they're more focused on, rather than winning the voters who have a problem with her, like with Gaza, with Palestine, you know, in the Midwest, rather than trying to win those people back, I feel like they're trying to replace those lost votes with conservative votes. Mm. And let's face it, we all know that the diehard conservatives, not independents, but conservatives, are not going to vote for a Democrat, ever. So in Texas, for example, we have Colin Allred, who's given Ted Cruz a run for his money. Colin Allred could win against Ted Cruz. In my house, everybody in my house agrees with this, that Colin Allred wins, but Trump takes the state. Because Colin Allred is conservative enough. He uses some anti-trans talking points to try to prove that he doesn't want boys and girls sports and things like that. And you're starting to see that among Democrats more and more. And I think that the goal that they're trying to appeal to conservative bases because they want to try to take states like Texas. But what's the point in taking a state like Texas when you have a Democrat who's just as conservative as their opponent? You know, he's a nicer looking guy. He's much more well-spoken. He'll probably get much more done. And everybody hates Ted Cruz. So Colin Allred could probably win. But I still think Donald Trump takes the state.
And make no mistake about it, for everyone listening to us, we are not fans of Donald Trump in any way, shape, or form. If anything, we're expressing our frustration of how right-wing talking points and right-wing language with regards to migration has been co-opted by a lot of people within the Democratic Party. And we have to be honest with that, open about it, and point it out and call it out for what it is. And this lends itself to the importance of independent media outlets like WPFW. Because like I said before, we are in the middle of WPFW's fall pledge drive, and we need your support so we can continue to bring more independent voices like that of Arturo Dominguez on the airwaves. We are living at a point in time where since 2004, more than 1 in 5 local newspapers in the United States have closed, and 8 media giants control 818 broadcast TV stations, resulting in local news that all looks and sounds the same. We've all seen it in our local news stations with our own eyes. And it just lends itself to something I said earlier in the show as well, which is now, more than ever, the WPFW audience can direct and in some ways save the future of journalism by supporting programs like the Latino Media Collective so we could continue to bring fantastic journalists like Arturo Dominguez on the show to give us their insights and their information and all the fantastic conversations that we've had in the past. But it's only possible with your support if you call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. You can also go to WPFWFM.org to make a donation. And if you have the Cash App on your phone, make a donation to $WPFWFM. And please give credit to the Latino Media Collective when you do so. We have a modest goal of $500 at this hour. We got some good support last week, and we want to continue that momentum this week as well, because we are not afraid to hold both parties to the fire when it comes to xenophobic and racist rhetoric when it comes to migration. Because like I said before to Arturo, we've had conversations with him numerous times with regards to DACA recipients, when it comes to mass shootings that were racially and xenophobically motivated. We talked about the racist decision-making by Texas Governor Greg Abbott numerous times. And we all do it from a place of humanity, that we want things to improve, to have people respect one another as human beings. But to go from that and co-opt the right-wing rhetoric when it comes to migration by Democratic leaders is not the way to go at all. And it leaves people like myself and Arturo frustrated that not only is this being co-opted, but it's being spread on outlets like Univision as well in the process, Spanish-speaking media. And I have to say quite clearly, and I've said this to Arturo several times, that the same grievances and arguments that we have with the CNNs and MSNBCs of the world, we can easily apply them to Univision and Telemundo as well. Telemundo is owned by NBC, General Electric. General Electric, like a lot of companies almost 20 years ago, benefited from the war in Iraq. Univision recently merged with Mexican media giant Televisa. Televisa, at first glance, may be seen as the Spanish version of Fox News. But considering that their history goes all the way back to the 1950s, and not to mention their dark chapter of supporting and whitewashing authoritarian governments in Mexico generations ago, and even today, it could be argued that Fox News is the English version of Televisa, which again shows you why you need to support independent media outlets like WPFW at this time. So once again, go to WPFWFM.org to make a donation. You can also call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. And if you had the Cash App on your phone, make a donation to $WPFWFM. And please give credit to Latino Media Collective when you do so. Once again, we're speaking with Arturo Dominguez. He's a freelance writer and journalist based in Houston, Texas. And we're talking about Univision's town halls. You're listening to the Latino Media Collective here on WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington. We're going to take a quick break right here. Back with more in a minute. Stay tuned. Manu Chao singing La Mentira, and you're listening to the Latino Media Collective here on WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington. And reminding everyone that we are in the middle of WPFW's fall pledge drive. So once again, make a call to 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 to make a donation to the Latino Media Collective. You can also go to WPFWFM.org as well. And if you have the Cash App on your phone, make a donation to $WPFWFM. And please give credit to the Latino Media Collective when you do so. Once again, we're speaking with Arturo Dominguez, who's a freelance writer and journalist based in Houston, Texas. And we're reviewing Univision's town halls of Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. And speaking of Donald Trump, you know, in the first half of the show, Arturo, we mentioned that there are a lot of things problematic with regards to Harris and her direction or rhetoric as it pertains to migration, among other things. But as problematic as Harris was in her responses, it was still not as bad as what we heard from Donald Trump almost a week later. I have a couple of clips here, but of all the horrendous responses he gave, this one here is perhaps the most viral, if not the most insulting. So let's take a listen of this farmer asking a question to Trump.
He trabajado toda mi vida con estas manos, agachado por horas, piscando fresa, cortando broccoli.
Good evening, President Trump. For many years, I have worked with these hands, hunched over, picking strawberries and cutting broccoli.
Este duro trabajo es realizado en su mayoría por gente indocumentada,
This tough job is mainly done by undocumented people.
Si usted deporta a esta gente, ¿quién haría ese trabajo y qué precio pagaríamos por la comida?
If you deport to these people, who would do that job and what price would we pay for food?
Please. Finished, yes?
Yes.
So the problem we have is we had people coming in under my administration, and they were coming in legally. They were coming in through a system that we had, which was great, because I'm the best thing that ever happened to farmers. You know that. I was great. You know, farmers are doing very badly right now, very, very badly under this administration. Under my administration, farmers did very well. We have to have a lot of people come into our country. We just want them to come in legally through a system, because they've released hundreds of thousands of people that are murderers, drug dealers, terrorists. They're coming in totally. Nobody knows who they are, where they come from. And the people that are most against it are the Hispanic people. They are totally against it, what's happened. The other thing I can say is that a lot of the jobs that you have and that other people have are being taken by these people that are coming in. And the African-American population and the Hispanic population in particular are losing jobs now because millions of people are coming in. So they're coming in, but they're also coming in largely and tremendous numbers coming in out of mental institutions. They're emptying out mental institutions. They're emptying out insane asylums. That's a step above a mental institution. Worse, bigger, bigger problems, bigger problem people.
Wow. That was the former president of the United States on Univision. And that was his response to a farm worker. Arturo Dominguez, your response.
You know, it was a very basic economic question, right? Who's going to harvest our food and how much are we going to pay for it? The whole response is telling. It's hilarious. Like, we're both laughing because it's incoherent. It's incoherent babble, right? So yeah, it didn't answer the question, obviously, but it's telling that when we're talking about farm workers and harvesting food and working in the fields, he again falls back to millions of people are taking these jobs. They're taking black people jobs. And it's almost like he's trying to say the only place for us and the only place for black people is in those fields. And if it wasn't for all these immigrants, undocumented immigrants taking those jobs, we'd have those jobs. And I feel like that's an insult, but you know, that's a huge insult. You know, there was the whole joke on Black Twitter and throughout the black community about what's a black job, you know, and to Trump, that's obviously working in the field, but you know, black jobs are everybody. It's a job. Every job is a black job. You know, every job is a Latino job. You know, that's how it's supposed to be. But that's the guy that I said earlier in the show that if I was the one asking that question and that was the response I got, I would have felt insulted. I really would have felt like he was talking about me, because maybe that guy at one point was undocumented, right? Working in the fields, been here forever. Maybe now he's legal or whatever. Trump just bashed him if that's the case. Trump goes off and talks about under his administration, we had this great program to bring in migrant workers. We've had that program for like, I don't know, 100 years, right? We have the H-1B visa program, right? For agricultural workers, things like that. And man, I know landscape companies that use that to bring guys from Mexico to work, you know? So that program has issues too. We don't hand out enough visas for workers to come and support the farmers that need the support. So they are forced to use undocumented labor, because we already know that the labor shortage on the farm is an America issue. Everybody here is too good for that work. I don't want to do it. I mean, I'll do it if I had to, you know, or maybe I did before I had a stroke. I might have done it if I had to, but like, I don't want that job. I don't want to do that job. It's rough. And it's only certain people are willing to do it, and they're willing to do it because it provides them an opportunity to be here, to get a better life, to put your kids to college, maybe buy a house, you know, things like that. And immigrants are willing to make those sacrifices that people who were born here aren't, because we're already born here. We don't have that to achieve. We achieved it by virtue of being born here. So for immigrants, like you look at, even when I mentioned the Indian immigrants in the tech sector, right? They deal with a lot of abuse from their bosses. And the reason why they do it is because they're here. They're making a sacrifice to be here for their families. That's not something anybody who was born here is going to put up with. Plus, those employers are holding those guys' visas hostage. You know, those visas are tied to those companies they work for. And if they get laid off or fired, they have like 60 days to find a new job or they get deported. So rather than try to take that risk, they just deal with the abuse. And it's the same thing when you look at the trades in home construction and commercial construction, even in government contracting, you know. There are a lot of people that are willing to make sacrifices just for that job and just to be able to be here and make that kind of money and support their families. So, you know, it's Trump's response is an absolute slap in the face to the man asking the question.
Yes. Thank you for saying that. And that's what infuriates me about these town halls. We shouldn't even call them town halls, whether it be right. Univision or any other network cable outlet out there who does this. Because there's no pushback at all. And so it's all just a public relations thing and just for show, just for visual show, to show that he's talking to the people, whoever the people happen to be in this case. And in this case, it's the Latino community. And that's what infuriates me. But at the very least, we can get a lot more nuance here on WPFW with Arturo Dominguez than we can with whatever abomination of a town hall that we saw for Univision, or if any other network has done that, because it almost takes away the meaning and the importance of a real town hall, because there would have been pushback. There would have been a response. There would have been some sort of fact-checking to what we saw, but we saw none of that in neither one of these Univision town halls with both Harris and Trump, to be honest. So we have another clip here from Trump, as if it couldn't get any worse. Here's a clip from Trump's response as to why people within his own party and former administration have turned against him. And Arturo, you sort of alluded to this earlier, but let's take a listen.
So the people that don't support a very small portion, we have a tremendous, about 97% of the people in the administration support me. But because it's me, somebody doesn't support, they get a little publicity. The vice president, I disagree with him on what he did. I totally disagreed with him on what he did. Very importantly, you had hundreds of thousands of people come to Washington. They didn't come because of me. They came because of the election. They thought the election was a rigged election, and that's why they came. Some of those people went down to the Capitol. I said peacefully and patriotically, nothing done wrong at all, nothing done wrong. And action was taken, strong action. Ashley Babbitt was killed. Nobody was killed. There were no guns down there. We didn't have guns. The others had guns, but we didn't have guns. And when I say we, these are people that walked down. This was a tiny percentage of the overall, which nobody sees and nobody shows. But that was a day of love from the standpoint of the millions. It's like hundreds of thousands. It could have been the largest group I've ever spoken before. They asked me to speak. I went and I spoke. And I used the term peacefully and patriotically.
Yes. So for people here in the Washington area, we saw everything happen with our own eyes and we heard everything with our own ears. And I'll tell you this, Arturo, I don't know if I mentioned this on the air, but I was actually at the studios of WPFW the night before all that went down. And on my way home on my bike, trying to get back home, and I saw those jokers doing their dress rehearsal, shall we say, on one of the public parks downtown. And so what is your response to his comments there?
You know, we could talk about the groups that were involved there, and obviously there's no love there, right? Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, you know, Blue Percenters, all that. There's no love there. But, you know, he disagreed with Mike Pence. And obviously Mike Pence isn't going to support you, right? Because you threw him under the bus, quite literally. People were screaming, hang Mike Pence. You made him the villain. You know, there are a lot of people in the Trump administration that are just like, no, I can't support him. But if Biden was still in the race, they probably would. I don't know. It's a weird deal. Trump is obviously delusional. The reaction from the guy who asked that question was basically every Latino in the world, right? When he said, you know, it was all love. You know, he said Ashley Babbitt died, then immediately follows it by nobody died when, like, I don't know, five or six people died.
Yeah, before you continue, I will give credit to Univision for one thing, is the crowd reaction when he said some of the things on that clip that we just played, because there were some people who were like, what? And there were some audible gasps that you could hear in the background as well. That's probably the only bit of credit that I'll give Univision there, but please continue.
And, you know, that's a big one, because Republicans and conservatives in general, especially like MAGA conservatives, they have been trying to paint January 6th like it's something that didn't happen. It's like they're trying to gaslight an entire planet at the same time. It's pretty safe to say billions of people probably saw that footage, or at least some of it. And it was violent. There was no love there. The goal was clear. They wanted to stop the certification of the election. You know, they wanted to stop Biden taking office. You know, it was an attempted coup, nothing short of that. If we saw that happening in any other country in the world, we'd be saying it was an attempted coup. And it was a violent, you know, there was nothing peaceful about that. So I think this is one of the bigger questions that he was asked that I feel like turned a lot of Latinos off. And for MAGA supporters, like, again, this is anecdotal, but I see this a lot here in the Houston area, especially in the suburbs. Trumpers getting pretty upset when you make fun of Trump. And for example, when we were like, I was trying to talk to some of people around here in the neighborhood about the Univision Town Hall, and you know, they were pretty excited about it, but they don't understand Latinos at all. You know, if it was a white people town hall, then I could see why they'd be excited about it.
Yeah, before you continue there, can I just remind the audience that Trump's town hall with Univision was in Miami. Mm-hmm. So to a certain degree, he was in friendly territory, but it still rubbed people the wrong way. Please continue.
It did. It rubbed people the wrong way. And when it comes to these Trumpers, like, a lot of people are having a hard time accepting that Trump might be declining cognitively, that Trump is just rambling and not really saying much. And there's just a lot of words and he's not really saying anything. And there was a video going around about a guy who owned a restaurant, a Cuban guy, and overheard a lady talking bad about Trump. He got in her face and assaulted her. You know, this was in Pompano Beach. Like I was saying, they came to me, were talking about the Univision Town Hall, and they were all excited about it. And when I tried to explain to him why I thought it was a disaster coming from Latinos, right? And even from the Black people in my house, they thought it was a disaster. You know, they start getting offended and it starts to escalate almost immediately. Nobody wants to hear that Trump is having a hard time. And with a lot of these MAGA Trumpers, they are so committed and invested, and a lot of these people have built personas around this guy, around Donald Trump. And I'm telling you, if he died tomorrow, they'd be lost. and it's really crazy to see anybody go so diehard for any politician, right? Anybody in power. You know, these aren't supposed to be the people you admire. These are supposed to be the people that you call into question and you check them and bring truth to their power. But it's just an interesting thing, because what Donald Trump did at the town hall more than likely would have worked at a rally. You know, and not answering that question and rambling on, everybody would have been cheering him on. But since Latinos know that when he's talking about illegal immigrants, he's talking about us, Latinos in general, who will be targets of his mass deportation.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't a good thing. It wasn't good. And I really hope that we see a huge drop in support for him from the Latino community, because that'll give me hope for the Latino community. There we have our diehards, right? Just like the white racist MAGAs have their Trump has his diehards in the white community and other communities and things like that. So we have a bunch that are never gonna stop supporting him. But a lot of the people who were still undecided because of his past actions, I think Donald Trump made the decision for them. They're gonna vote for Harris. And I really wish we had another alternative between those two.
Yeah, and you just made a very good point here with regards to how, if he was at any other rally, any usual Trump rally of his, that whole speech, that whole response to all those questions would have been fine, no big deal. But because he's talking to a Latino audience, and because we could read between the lines, and when people say illegals, they're referring to our community, it didn't go well. And as you said, it was a disaster. So to a certain degree, I guess you would give a little bit of credit to Univision and just let him fall on his own sword. But that doesn't take away how useless and uninformative these town halls are. Because yes, it is a disaster. Trump is going to fall on his own sword anyway. He's done that numerous times with various other ridiculous comments. But even then, I would have loved to have seen some kind of pushback by either the audience or even the moderator. I mean, if you're not going to do any pushback, you may as well just have AI produce the questions. That's how insignificant these town halls were. And it lends itself to something that I mentioned earlier, which is how Univision, which recently merged with Mexican media giant Televisa has a problematic history of either pandering or whitewashing the crimes of right-wing governments in Mexico in the past. That's been well documented. And so before I ask you this question, all this conversation, this nuanced conversation that we're having with Arturo, lends itself tremendously to the importance of supporting independent media outlets like WPFW, because we give, at the very least, a more nuanced response to some of the most craziest things that we saw in these town halls between both Harris and Trump, and how these town halls are really just public relations tools that are not meant to inform the general public. We are here to try to inform the general public to the best of our abilities, but that's only possible with your support. And so we encourage everyone to go to WPFWFM.org to make a donation. And you could call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. And if you have the Cash App on your phone, make a donation to $WPFWFM. And please give credit to Latino Media Collective when you do so. So we have about a few minutes left, Arturo. What grade would you give Unison in these two town halls? And with the aforementioned merger between Univision and Televisa, with these two recent town halls, do you see a little bit of whitewashing here as a means to maintain access to powerful political figures at the cost of informing the public? I would say so as well. Let's not forget that it's been almost a year ago where Univision had that problematic interview with Donald Trump, and it wasn't a town hall, but there was still no pushback in that interview either. And that was sort of a sign of things to come with regards to Univision. And as a matter of fact, several journalists quit in protest because of that interview last year. So again, what would you grade Univision here? And are they doing this at the expense of informing their public?
As far as a grade for Univision, I would give them a D only because they provided both candidates a platform to give us, you know, for people to call and to question a lot of their policy ideas. You know, the town halls, like you said, they're, in a sense, they're kind of useless because they're very softball. And it reminds me a lot of, I criticize access journalism a lot because when I was, you know, working Congress for a little bit there, and I kind of still am, but, you know, you see a lot of journalists that don't want to push back on, say, Mike Johnson, for example, because they want to maintain that access to his office. You know, I'm not like that. I push back. I ask the questions. I know my readers are going to be asking this question, and I'm going to ask that question. At the end of the day, politicians need the media. The media doesn't need the politician. So, you know, access journalism to me is, it's almost fraudulent. But that's what these town halls are. These town halls are softball questions. They don't want to. For example, an outlet like Univision is certainly not going to push back on Trump because he's their guy. And they're not going to push back on Harris because they want her to come back. If they were too strong on Harris, there'd be a point in Harris's term or next campaign where she might avoid them because they made her look bad. The reason I gave
Univision a D and not an F is because, like I said, they provided both ships were probably taking on water after their little town halls in Univision. I think for Trump, it's a catastrophic failure as far as taking on water. His ship is suffering catastrophic failure. Harris's ship can still be repaired. But, you know, that said, we're like 2 weeks away from the election. So at this point, it's kind of up in the air. The fact that the race is as tight as it is between those two is actually surprising to me. But the dislike for Kamala Harris from conservatives is equal to the dislike of Trump from liberals. And, you know, there's a lot of misogynoir in there, racism, misogyny, you know, with relation to Harris. With Trump, a lot of people hating just because he's a bigot. So those are two kind of different grievances you have there. At the end of the day, Trump did himself a lot of damage by going there. I think it's part of the reason why he decided to stop campaigning so much, why he's decided to step back and take a break. I think Univision was a big part of that because, like you said, it was in Miami. You would think, because Florida is such a Republican stronghold, and I know Biden, you know, in the last election, won Miami and Broward County, or Dade County and Miami and Broward County in the Miami area. He did so just barely. You know, he lost the state because of the white vote, obviously, because that's how Florida is. The rural areas are always going to be red. And it takes more than two counties to win that state. So I think this time maybe Trump wins Miami, but not by much. It's going to be tight. And as far as like states like Texas go, I don't think Harris has a chance. I know the Harris campaign is looking at Allred's success and thinking, hey, we have a chance in Texas, but Allred's odds of winning are not Harris's odds of winning. So it's going to be a tough battle. It's going to be a very interesting election day, that is for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this show, like any other show, is keeping an eye on the horse race as the day gets closer. But let's make it clear with this particular conversation that we had today that this issue with Univision and Spanish-speaking media and sort of this access journalism that you describe is still going to be a problem long after the election is over, no matter who wins. And this is why it's so important to support independent media outlets like WPFW so we can continue to have more nuanced conversations long after the horse race is over. And in order to do that, you need to support independent media outlets like WPFW. So again, go to WPFWFM.org to make a donation. You can also call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. And if you have the Cash App on your phone, make a donation to $WPFWFM. And please give credit to Latino Media Collective when you do so. We've been speaking with Arturo Dominguez, who's a freelance writer and journalist based in Houston, Texas. We've been talking about Univision's town halls. As always, it's fun, insightful, informative. Thank you for being on the show with us, Arturo Dominguez.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on here, Oscar. It's always fun, and I'm always open to coming on the show. This one was a good one.
Absolutely, you got it. And with that said, that is it for today's show. We want to remind everyone to donate to WPFW and the Latino Media Collective by going to WPFWFM.org. You can also call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. And if you have the Cash App on your phone, make a donation to $WPFWFM. And please give credit to the Latino Media Collective when you do so. And with that said, that is it for today's show. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening and supporting. Adios. Nos vemos. Ciao.
For WPFW News in Washington, I'm Sue Goodwin. Today is Friday, October 25th. Here are some headlines. With 11 days to go until Election Day, both presidential candidates are in Texas today. Kamala Harris is scheduled to hold a rally in Houston with a focus on abortion rights. She is expected to be joined by pop superstar Beyoncé and country icon Willie Nelson. Donald Trump plans to address border security in remarks in Austin and tape an interview with popular conservative podcaster Joe Rogan. Yesterday, Kamala Harris held a rally with former President Barack Obama and Bruce Springsteen in Atlanta, Georgia. Harris made the case that a second Trump administration would be dangerous, while Springsteen accused Trump of running to be, quote, an American tyrant, close quote. Donald Trump yesterday addressed a rally in Arizona, where he offered up more of his anti-immigrant rhetoric as he rallied at the immigration policy of the Biden administration and said, quote, we're like a garbage can for the world, close quote. In more election news, 13 former officials from Donald Trump's administration have issued an open letter expressing their agreement with retired Marine General John Kelly. In an interview published Tuesday in the New York Times, Kelly, who served as the former president's longest-serving White House chief of staff, said Trump, quote, certainly falls into the general definition of fascist, close quote, and that Trump occasionally spoke positively of Adolf Hitler. The letter from the former officials includes this statement, quote, we are all lifelong Republicans who served our country. However, there are moments in history where it becomes necessary to put country over party. This is one of those moments. Everyone should heed General Kelly's warning, close quote. In other news today, President Biden is in Arizona, where he spoke at the Gila River Indian community and formally apologized on behalf of the government for the country's role in forcing indigenous children into boarding schools, where many of them were physically, emotionally, and sexually abused, and over 1,000 died between 1869 and the 1960s. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, a member of the Pueblo of Laguna Nation in New Mexico, joined Biden during his first diplomatic visit to a tribal nation as president. Haaland launched an investigation into the boarding school system shortly after she became the first Native American to lead the agency. The investigation found that at least 18,000 children, some as young as four, were taken from their parents and forced to attend schools that sought to assimilate them into white society, while federal and state authorities sought to dispossess tribal nations of their land. It's unclear what action, if any, will follow the apology. The Interior Department is still working with tribal nations to repatriate the remains of children on federal lands. And the United Nations Environment Program released its annual emissions gap report yesterday with a stark warning that the world is still far from meeting its climate commitment. According to the report, global greenhouse gas emissions rose 1.3% in 2023 to their highest levels in history. Continuing with current policies means the world will be on course for a disastrous temperature rise of 3.1 degrees Celsius before the end of the century, while implementing promised reforms would at best lead to an increase of 2.6 degrees.